Okay, everybody, so let's learn a little bit. Let's speak about some post-Yom HaKippurim issues. Okay, everybody, side by side. Might have it, everybody, side. Let's have order in the court. Everybody, side, please. Okay, first thing. Today there's a term, a Hasidish term called, today is Gotz Nomin. Yom Gotz Nomin. Anyone ever hear of this?
Well, you mentioned it.
We mentioned it every year. Be happy and I mentioned it. One day, today's day of God's name. What's Shai? Today's God's name. Today is the day when we return to say, Ato Kodosh, the Shimcha Kodosh, the Kodosh, and Chol Yom Yehalalucha, Sel Baruch Ato Hashem, Hokel HaKodosh. What is a higher Madrega? To say Hokel HaKodosh or to say HaMelech HaKodosh?
It depends on the time.
So it's all relative
what's
to
appropriate
what's appropriate. So during the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, what's appropriate is to say that Hashem is the Melech HaKodosh. But like everything in life, B'li Yoytze Min HaKlal, there is always a trade-off. There's no such thing as having it all. This is in reality of life. This is built into the DNA of this world. There is no such thing as having it all. Cannot have it all. It's always going to be a trade-off. The best thing I ever learned about in this concept, Joe Thurm, he wants us to come to the shiur once in a while over here, years ago.
Yeah.
Joe Thurm, so he wants, and I was in his class in Brooklyn College.
I see him about every morning.
He gave a whole lecture, maybe Marvel Slugs in computers, and showing us how every single part of the computer, every single element in the computer is a trade-off. And you're going to go for this CPU, you're going to go for this heart, so very good, you have this, but you're lacking this. You have this, you're lacking this. You can show us in computers. There is no such thing in all the components of building your own computer of having it all.
Having it all.
Everything that you select in life is a trade-off. There's a trade-off. That's the way it is in the world. This is built in. Hashem's built this mitzvah into the world. No one has everything. Every single thing has a cost. There's a deficiency. You're lacking something, and you have to make a decision based upon the time, place. What is your priority? What's your priority in shidduchim? Or go ask a boy or a girl, what do you want in a shidduch? What kind of boy do you want? What kind of boy do you want?
You go list off 10 different
things that are important to you. The shadchan says, we're talking about 10 different boys. There's no such thing as one boy that has all of your 10 requirements. No such thing. You told me you want 10 different things.
I hear him say, I want a modern boy who sits and learns.
A what? What?
A modern boy.
What's a modern boy?
Modern.
A modern boy.
Who sits and learns.
So what's why not? There are many of them like that. What's the kind? That's not a kasha. Okay, wait.
They say in
Yiddish,
Alles by Einem is Nishtar by Canaan.
Allah, here, where are both, what he's saying?
Alles by Einem is Nishtar by Canaan.
What is it in English?
Everything in one person doesn't exist in anybody.
Okay, exactly. An expression. There is no such thing in any area of life of having it all. You have to have a priority. That's the lesson. And people go and think they can have it all. I didn't say that. Okay. Politicians, it's been proven again and again, they never ever learn their lesson, is you cannot be, you have a politician, or a whole will tell you, you have to make decisions. What's your priority? You can't be everything. You can't talk out two sides of the mouth. You can't. Yeah, they do. That's why they go nowhere. That's why they're all corrupt. That's all corrupt. That's why there's no such thing. That's the way life goes. Here is a very important example today, a very holy example of this concept. During the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, it is necessary for us to say HaMelech HaKodesh. The term HaMelech HaKodesh is very holy, sublime. That's what it's all about. It's mi yichi mi yomos, we go lefnei melech, malchi amlochim, malchiois. It's all about malchus. But there's a trade-off. The trade-off is the term melech is not a holy word. I can just say now, melech, melech, melech. I'm not going to get into trouble for saying melech. But when you say kel, I can't say it the way it's meant to be pronounced. Because that term, when we use in reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is one of the shemois, she'enam nimchakim. So, Kel has an incredible potency to it that is far, far superior.
Did you say a Melech HaKadosh, you have to go back?
Today, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, yes, you do. Only heter is, I think, Mitzoyom Yom Kippur.
Mitzoyom Yom Kippur. This morning, weren't you tempted to say all those things? To say
everything? Halavai, I should be concentrating. No, you're not. That's not the nusach. That's not the matbea. So then, that's techedei dibur. So techedei dibur, you can correct yourself.
No.
That's not the matbea. If you mean it both, luchari na yoytze. If you taka mean it as that's what you want to say, you say luchari you're not yoytze. Because there's a matbea shetavu chachamim. There's a nusach, and if you don't say the correct nusach, the chasima, you're not yoytze. You have to repeat the bracha. If a person makes a mistake, he can correct himself. But if a person l'chatchila has an intent, I want to say both, who are you to say both? This is like halacha. I vaguely remember, I didn't see it this year, I didn't learn the halacha as well this year, but I vaguely remember that mitzoyo makipurim, there are opinions. It could be what I'm saying is totally wrong, but it sticks in my mind. Only mitzoyo makipurim is there a heter that if a person by mistake says hamelech hakodesh mitzoyo makipurim, you don't repeat the Shemona Esrei. Could be I'm wrong. Rav Baruch, is that familiar to you, such a thing?
It's minor. You
don't. I'm looking right in front of me in the Sefer's called Guidelines. One of a person mistakenly included one of the additional phrases.
No, that's excluded. That's. I'm talking about Mitzoyah Makipurim.
Yeah, I'm referring to it.
If you say Micha Mocha Lachar for sure, you Yoytze B'diavit. If you say, you know, me,
you say, if the phrase is neutral, you should continue Shema Esrei.
What about Hamelech HaKadosh, yeah?
If the phrase is completely inappropriate, the following rules apply. If you realize before the end of the bracha, you should go back to the beginning of the bracha. If he has finished the bracha and the mistake occurred during the first two brachas, you should go back to the beginning of Shema Esrei. If the mistake occurred during the last two brachas, you should go back to Ritzei.
Where are you reading from?
Guidelines.
Okay, it's not an amuch what it says. There are other. Okay, there are. I don't. It's not important now.
I have in front of me.
Okay. It's not. Let's. Okay, but one thing for sure. Today already.
Yeah, what if he mistakenly said Amelech?
Yeah.
Okay. If he realizes immediately, he should correct himself and use the correct wording. If he realizes after 1 second, or if he began the next bracha, he should continue.
Continue.
Yeah.
Who does he say it from?
I have to look at the footnotes.
Okay, so I'm surprised it says it in guidelines. Because they would give you more of a standard.
That's Myrif.
Only Myrif. Only Myrif after Yom Kippurim. There's a step.
He quotes the footnotes of the Mishnah Berurah.
The Mishnah Berurah says it. Wow. Mamash Aferish and Mishnah Berurah. I'm embarrassed not to know Mishnah Berurah. Okay, Beferish and Mishnah Berurah.
That's the footnote. That's what it says. Look at the footnote.
Okay, if a person, but he says a chid, but I don't understand. Yet he says that if you say Zachreinu L'chaim, you have to repeat the Shemona Esrei.
I'm reading what it says.
It's a shocking thing. Madach, if you say Hamelech HaKadosh. Is it really called a hefsek to say Zachreinu L'chaim?
Says that the phrase is neutral. Is it neutral or is it inappropriate?
Well, so what does he say? He says to repeat the Shemona Esrei, right?
After he realizes before the end of the bracha, he should go back to the beginning of the bracha.
Yeah.
He has finished the bracha and the mistake occurred during the first two brachas, he should go back to the beginning of the Shemona Esrei.
And who's the source?
I have to see through.
Mishnah Berurah says that, okay, you have to be mechalek between, but that's only last night. Mm-hmm. That does not apply today. Today already it's too little too late. All right, anyway, let's get back on track. Everybody, let's get back on track.
So today is Beit Fair no matter what.
Today, if you say HaMelech HaKadosh by Shachris,
Mishnah
Berurah. So the Mishnah Berurah says that you have to do both in Mishnah Berurah. If you have to make a mistake by both of them, not by one of them. All right, let's put this aside for now.
Right.
The point here is, Rabbi Mayaski, we quoted you today.
Oh, yeah?
We quoted you about the girl that had the red hair whose hair went up in smoke.
Oh, yeah.
See? I didn't make this one up.
Man. It still bothers me. I wanted to know what her mother said when she came home.
It'll grow back. Don't worry.
No, but her father didn't even. I mean, her father must have caught it good.
Okay, so let's reboot. Today is called Rabbi Sai. Everything in life is a trade-off. When you say HaMelech HaKadosh, here, Rabbi Sai, please. HaMelech HaKadosh is appropriate for the Aseret Yimei Teshuvah because it's a time of Malchus. We have to put ourselves in the frame of mind that we're going Lifnei Melech Malchei Amlochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it has a chesaron. The chesaron is it does not have Kedushas Hashem. If a person says with HaMelech, no problem. Even if you think about Hashem, you say Hashem is the Melech. No problem. If you write down, you can erase it. But when you say HaKel, you're not allowed to say that's one of the Kel that refers to Hashem. It's Shemois. She'enam nimchakim. It's b'moitzi shem shemaim levatala. It can even be part violation of what it says in the Aseres Hadibros. The sisa shem Hashem Elokecha Lashav. This is very, very serious. So which one is more sacred? Is Hamelech more sacred or is Hakel more sacred? The answer is, well, it depends. Like we said, everything is relative to what you're dealing with, to the time and place. Therefore, there is no question that Hakel HaKadosh has an element of being greater than HaMelech because it's from the Shemois She'enam Nimchakim that may not be erased. Therefore, today is a very big Yom Tov. Today, in the rabbinic literature of the Hasidim, it is a very holy day today because today is the Yom of Gotz Nomen. Today, we're on a Madrega where we're Zoiche to say Hakel HaKadosh, the Maila of saying the Shem Hashem, that's sacred, that's more sacred than the term HaMelech. It's almost like when the year begins, we're born anew. It's not a good term to say in an Orthodox community. We're born anew on Rosh Hashanah.
I know, but we invented the idea.
We are not deserving to say Hakel HaKadosh. The most we can say is HaMelech HaKadosh. We're not yet bar mitzvah. We're not, you are on training wheels. Who are we to say that Hashem is Hakel? Hakel HaKadosh. Who do you think you are? You think you're such a madrega, you can say you can take Hashem's name? Who do you think you are? It takes 10 days of teshuvah, of humility, to raise yourself to the level, I mean, mechaper, be metaher, to Yom Kippur, where now, oh, now you're ready. Now, after Yom Kippur, you've earned the right to say, to call Hashem Hakel, Hakel HaKadosh. It's a Yom Tov. A Yom Tov, it's the Yom of God's Nomen. That is what...
But we say Aleph Lamed in many places in the davening.
But to be chosim the bracha, to be chosim, even though we say Hashem's name many times, you can say the whole, the year outside the middle of Hashem, you can say Hashem's name multiple times. When you say him, but there's a certain sacredness of saying Hashem's name in the first three blessings. A bracha, it's a bracha. It has a unique flavor, a unique potency that's different. For the Aseres Yimei Teshuva, we were not zoiche to conclude, Ato Kadosh, V'Shimcha Kadosh, U'Kadosh, V'Chol Yoim, Yehalelucha Sela, Baruch Ato Hashem. We were not Zoyche for 10 days. We had no right. We had no right. The most we can say is, Baruch Ato Hashem, HaMelech HaKadosh. You're just a boss of Adam. You just can't take Hashem's name like that.
You say it in the middle of the bracha.
Okay, it's different. It's still different. The chasima of the bracha has a special potency that it does not have when you say Kel Melech Neman. A person davens b'yachidus and he says Shema, so you say Kel Melech. It's the same thing, right? It's the same thing, big deal. You go to sleep, you're in your pajamas, you say Kel Melech Neman, big deal. It is a big deal. It's different when you say Baruch Ato Hashem, Hakel HaKadosh, it's a big deal. Because it's part of the three brachos that open up the Amidah, where you're oimed lefnei HaMelech. When you say Kel Melech Neman, you're not oimed lefnei HaMelech. You're in bed, you're in your pajamas. When you daven the Shmoyne Esrei, you have an audience, a private audience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And who are you to say Hashem's name? Who are you?
Doesn't it say right in the middle of the drum, Kel Melech?
I know, we're going in circles. We're going in circles. So again, it's still a different potency. I'll give you a mushroom. When you talk, someone asks, what's your father's name? Howard. Jack. Okay, when you stand in front of your father, do you say, Howard, can you come here? Is there a zilzum saying your father's name? If someone asks you, what is your father's name? There's nothing wrong. My father's name is Jack. Nothing wrong. But when you're in front of your father and you want to call your father, get his attention, do you say Jack? A chutzpah neira to call your father. When you're davening Shemoneh Esrei, you are being oimed lifnei, you are standing before Hashem. So you're going to go call Hashem by his name? Is that respectful? Are you a minister? Are you part of the cabinet? Are you part? Do you have a relationship with Hashem where you're entitled in front of Hashem to say Hashem's name? Who do you think you are? Who do we think we are? So indeed, the first 10 days of Tishrei, we're not in that madrega. And when you daven the Shemoneh Esrei, which is a time when you're oimei lifnei HaMelech, we're not entitled to say Hashem's name. You have to earn it. After 10 days of doing teshuva, you earn it. You say Hakel HaKadosh. So, but it's not HaMelech. HaMelech has its own milos. Well, in life, there are trade-offs. And today, we're looking at the positive. The milos of saying Hakel HaKadosh is unique and special to this day. Okay, let's go further. Let's talk about this topic, is that the Vilna Gaon, he very much emphasized this point. It says in the pasuk, "Lekachtem lochem bayoyim harishoyin pri eitz hadom kapois tavon va'anaf eitz avos ve'avi nochal u'smachtem." Sukkos is 5 days away on the 15th day of Tishrei, and the Torah defines it with the word "Ulekachtem lochem bayoyim harishoyin." So, what is the pshuto shel mikra? It's the first day of the festival. There are 7/8 days to this holiday. So the first day of the festival, you shall take a pre-Eitz Hadar, an Esrei, a Lulav, Hadassim, Arevos, v'chul. But the Chazal come along and they say, that's not what it means. Chazal come along and they say, Ulekachtem lochem bayoyim harishoyin. Why is it called yoyim harishoyin? Rishoyin lecheshboin avoynais. It's the first day for the calculation of sin. Question? No, it's not. Today, the 11th day is the first day of calculation for sin. It's Mefarsh Pasuk. Ki bayoyim hazeh yechaper aleichem letaher eschem mikol chatoseichem lefnei Hashem titaru. We read this yesterday in the Kriya. The Pasuk clearly states ki bayoyim hazeh is the 10th day. So that means that the 11th day today is the Rishon L'Cheshvoin Avoynes. My high. Stira. What the Stira? So the Vilna Gaon says something very powerful, and many of us, they pick up on this, and that is, you learn from this that it really isn't over. There's a lot of work that goes on between Yom Kippur and the first day of Sukkot, and we don't appreciate this. We all know this. The kvittel is Hashanah Rabbah, absolutely. There are many madrigals in Din. Many madrigals. This is Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, the tzaddikim are nichtav v'nechtam l'chai on Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. For the tzaddikim, they don't need to go through the whole process. They're already done. Right. They can go back to work. They can go, everything is back as business as usual. So then there are the Rishon as well. They're done. So why are there aseret yemei teshuva for the beinonim? So we're all together, Beinonim. Right. Okay, so that's right. Yom Kippur.
That's the curve.
But then the Vilna Gaon says that's not so. It's true. There are different madrigals. There are different levels. After Yom Kippur, the next critical moment is the first day Sukkos. The first day, in other words, really the chasima of Erev Sukkos. Which means, since it says that the Rishon L'Cheshbon Avoynos is on Sukkos, it doesn't mean that you get 4 days to do whatever you want. 4 days, you could just do all the Averos you want and everything is free. Yeah?
Does it mean that in this interim, you're so busy with getting mitzvot
that's
ready?
That's too simplistic.
Oh, okay.
The Pasha Rav Michal is saying, that's what they tell us in Yeshiva, that you're so busy. Look around, people are not so busy. There's plenty of time to do a lot of averos. But you're so busy buying a dal minim, going to the store, you're so busy putting up the sukkah, you're so busy learning all the halachas. Yeah, it's very nice vart, Well, look, Pukhazi, people, there are people that are very, very busy. They're busy, those type of people, they're busy the whole year. They don't have time. They don't have, like a Rabbi Kefir would say, he goes to Shachris, and he sees the Hasidim who daven with him. They go, Hashem, you know, daven nusach svar, Hashem, the Bogan, the Gozal, the Bredof, Yavinu. He comes back at 1:30 for Mincha, and he sees the same guys, Mochamo, Hashem, the Bogan, the Gozal, the Bredof, Yavinu. He says to them, how did you have time from 7 o'clock until 1:30 to do all those others again? How did you do it? What's your secret? Takes a lot of time. It's so easy to do an Avera. Takes a lot of planning and time. How do you do it?
That's why the Hasidim don't say
it. That, no, they do say that. Ashkenazim don't say it.
No, they don't say Tachlin.
They don't say Tachlin, period. Okay, so you're really so busy? So some people are very busy, but not everyone is so busy. There's always room for dessert, okay? There's always room to do Averis. So this is something much deeper here. There's something much deeper. And what the Vilna Gaon in essence says is that these 4 days is a very critical time. You're really being tested. You're really being tested. How sincere was your teshuvah? There was Yom Kippur, there was a Gemar, there was a Chasima, but the ink is still wet. The ink is the wax is still wet. You know, I play with a wax thing. You with a glue gun, put wax, and then you put a seal on it. You know, the wax, it takes time for the wax to dry. It doesn't dry instantly, it takes time. You have to put the seal, and while the wax is still wet, you can take your finger and you can mess it all up. Okay, I can show you, you can mess it all up. It's not, it takes time. It's the wax is still wet. And if a person really messes up during these days, things can be changed. And if a person behaves properly, there are edits. The document is not locked. It's not yet locked. There is time. The Vilna Gaon, the way he writes, he really goes to town and he says, these days, these 4 days, are days of din. They're watching very carefully in Shemayim. What they've sealed, and it's a pasuk, because it says ki bayoyim hazeh yechaper aleichem, on this day, and yet it says ulekachtem lachem bayom harishon rishon lecheshven avanes. There's no way in the world it means you can do whatever you want these 4 days. You're not accountable. That's impossible. It's kefir, mamish kefir to say you can do whatever you want. To say that you're so busy, not everyone is so busy, and even if you're very busy, there's always time. There's always time to chaperayin a shtickel avera. Always. So what does it mean then? What does it mean then? It means it's not over. It's not over. It's true, there was a chasima. But you know, be on guard. There are things that are still happening. These are very, very critical days. It's actually frightening where the book is still open to be on your best behavior until it's sealed.
See,
it's sealed.
Analogy.
What?
For me, the analogy is an audit. You get audited. Okay? The report is written in Rosh Hashanah. Then it has to, you know, there's response, mm-hmm. right? And then comes, you know, finally, at the end of the process, it's signed off and it's issued. So there's this...
Is a delay.
There are stages to the report being written and then until it's finalized. So I've always thought that's the best analogy for it.
It's a frightening time, it really is. And then afterwards, okay, there's more. Then there's obviously there's the Hashanah Rabbah, which is another level. And then they'll tell you, Hanukkah, there's another level. Nothing in life happens, you don't turn a switch. It's not black and white. It's a process. Everything in life is a process. And these 4 days, unfortunately, we don't, the Vilna Gaon says, appreciate the process. The process is this moment, these 4 days are very critical to that process. Things that are Yom Kippur, but things can be changed for the better. And chashal person, rachmon has to be careful not to make it worse. Okay, next very important topic is that these days are Yom Tov. It's you're not allowed to fast these 4 days. Why not? The primary reason why you're not allowed to fast, the only thing you can fast is a tainis chaloim. And a chosan is allowed to fast beyond chupasai. Those are the only two exceptions of fasting during these 4 days. And the question is why? What is really special about these 4 days? The fact from the Vilna Gaon says that these 4 days are days of din. Our days, the din's not finished till Yom HaRishon, so maybe L'choy would be a very good idea to keep on fasting. What's the pshat? So the answer is these days are the anniversary of the Chanukah's Bayis Rishon. Shaloimoy HaMelech. He inaugurated the Bayis Rishon on the 8th day of Tishrei. The 8th day of Tishrei was the day before Erev Yom Kippur. It's 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 7 days of celebration. It says in the Pasuk that he celebrated. It says that on Shmini Atzeres. It says that he celebrated Vayashlem Moyas HaChag. He made the festival. Shivas Yomim v'Shivas Yomim. 7 days and 7 days. We break it up. What are the 7 days? The 7 days of the, then after the 14 days. There was a 14-day inauguration of the Bayis Rishon. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he inaugurated the Mishkan, only celebrated for 7 days. Shlomo doubled it to 14 days. And there's a tradition in the Medrash somewhere, maybe Rav Chonos, the Makar, is that maybe it was the Bayis Sheni, they celebrated for 21 days. Is there something to say that? We once learned that? Or maybe it was the Bayis Shlishi. The Bayis Shlishi will be celebrated for 21 days. Multiples of seven.
Whose celebration?
Maybe not. Could be not, because the Bayis Sheni was not really, I don't know. I don't know. I take that back. But there is definitely somewhere where it says, I have no doubt about it. No, Shmini Atzeres, we read about the inauguration of the Bayis Rishon. That was 14 days. Moshe inaugurated the Mishkan for 7 days. Shlomo spent 14 days celebrating the inauguration of the Bayis Rishon. I don't remember if it's the Bayis Sheni or it's the Bayis Shlishi, where it's going to be for 21 days in increments of seven. In any event, it was seven. The 7 days of the celebration coincided with Sukkot, the second 7 days. It wasn't just 14 days. It's two sets of seven. Seven, seven. There is seven that was a pregame, that was a real celebration, starting on the 8th day of Tishrei, going into through the 14th day, and then with the 15th day, there was another 7 days of celebration, and then on the 8th day, we read the Haftarah, as Rabbi Mayowski mentioned, on the 8th day, everyone went home, and they blessed the Melech. That was Shmini Atzeres. That was the 8th day. That was the 15th day, which was a day after. And that was Shmini Atzeres. In fact, in the year when they celebrated the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash, because it was a day of celebration, they did not fast. Can you imagine having a Yom HaKippurim that before Ne'ilah, Rabbi Isai, in the hall, there is coffee and cake for everyone to strengthen yourself before we daven Ne'ilah? That happened once in history. Could you imagine your shul? That before Ne'ilah,
I saw it actually happen when I was a kid on East Broadway, the Educational Alliance.
They had food?
I was a little kid. We walked out of shul in the middle to take a little spatzir. It was too much sitting a whole day. We're walking with a friend, and we passed the Educational Alliance. All of a sudden, we heard a whistle blow, and everybody got up, and I had coffee.
Woo! Conservative, I guess conservative reform.
We were laughing.
Okay. But it happened. It really happened once in history. It happened once in history where on Yom HaKippurim, they ate. They ate. They dive in the Nusach of Yom HaKippurim.
73 in the Yom Kippur
1. What?
Yom Kippur 1, the soldiers.
Okay, that was an Eis Sara. That was an Eis Rachman al Son. That was a terrible Eis Sara. There was a Muhammad. Terrible, terrible. That was a horrific time. Terrible. The stories you read about what went on then, the Agmas Nefesh, what went on then was not to be believed. But talking about it as a Yomtif, they ate, they mamish ate. It was a day, it was a very great time. As a Zecha, that celebration was such a great celebration. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they rested his divine presence. L'shichnoi Sidr Shu Uvasa Shama, a kiyum of that pasuk. It wasn't just where Moshe built the Mishkan, the place Hashem rested his divine presence, but a permanent resting of Hashem's Shechina in the Mokum that he selected took place during those 7 days, and those 7 days include these 4 days. So we know we were busy, we didn't have a choice on the 8th day because we were fighting for our lives. Erev Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur, those 2 days by themselves are days of Yom Tif, but now for the next now these days are not part of Aser Sinei Teshuvah, they're not part of Yom Kippurim, and then the next seven are part of Sukkos. We have now these 4 days are days where we reflect and we connect to Shloima HaMelech. Shloima HaMelech, these are his 4 days. These are the days when he celebrated the accomplishment of bringing for Hashem a divine presence. The thing about it, we have Ushpizin. On Sukkos, there are seven Ushpizin. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David. What's the Ushpizin of Shmini Atzeres? Shlomo HaMelech. Okay, the Chassidus HaSvarim. Who is the Ushpizin of Shmini Atzeres? Shlomo HaMelech. Who is the Ushpizin of the 4 days before the Sukkos? Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech sandwiches, he's the bookends of Sukkos. The 7 days of Sukkos, the Avos, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David. And then after, Shlomo HaMelech. Who comes before? These 4 days are days of tribute to Shlomo HaMelech. He built the Bayis Rishon, it's a major feat to build the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem's divine presence. And this is the primary reason why these are days of Yom Tov. We don't eat. It's not because it's soon going to be, it's between Pesach, between Yom Kippur and Sukkos. Because the truth is, these days we really should be fasting. Because if the Yom HaRishon, Cheshbon Avonos, is first on Sukkos, these are serious days. It's not a joke. It's not a joke between the day Ki Bayom HaZeh Yichaper and Bayom HaRishon, Rishon, Cheshbon Avonos. These days we should really be in a state of pachad and fast and do all the things that you normally ordinarily do for teshuvah. The only reason why they are lifted is because we celebrate the inauguration of the Bayis Rishon, which whose impact is still with us today. Even though it has been destroyed, and even though the Bayis Sheni was destroyed, it doesn't matter. The impact, the legacy, what the Beis HaMikdash has done for this world, the awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and how it has changed the whole world, is very much alive. Ad HaYom HaZeh. There's no one that has such a legacy in this world. You know, the Avos, you know, the Goyim, they're living in a land of fantasy, but they don't even realize to what degree the fact that there was a Beis HaMikdash for 410 years in this world, how it changed the world. Ad HaYom HaZeh. And certainly for us. And that's cause of celebration. And that's why these days are a very powerful time of Yom Tov. Okay, now let's go to some other ideas. Let's talk about the laws
of... How are we to understand the change that the Beis HaMikdash made in the rest of the world?
Chazal said if the Goyim knew the benefit, the bracha that came to this world because of the Beis HaMikdash,
yeah,
they would surround it with guards 24-7 to make sure no one touches it. The fools, the tipshim, shaitim sheba oilam, to destroy society. Look what's going on now in politics. Shaitim sheba oilam. Shaitim. Go woke, go broke. Okay? Isn't that a fact? Go look at all the states that have gone woke, all of the stores. Anyone who goes woke goes broke. It's a fact. Who asked you for this, Mishugas? Who asked you? Just leave it alone. Leave it alone. It's like in the hospitals. I was spending a lot of time in the hospital once. And everything is good. The patient is very sick, obviously, but everything is stable. They walk in, they make their rounds. Okay, we're going to change all the medicines. I got the big fight. Who's asking you to change the medicines? Leave it the way it is. It's good. Just let it be what it is. No, when we walk in the room, we make changes. Who's asking you to make a change? Mishugoyim. No, Mishugoyim. That's how the... Leave it alone. What do you have to go make crazy things?
Look, the man, it justifies your existence.
Unbelievable. Yeah, that's what it is. Or you get the bill for everything, every change you make. Ding, ding, ding. You're able to build the insurance. All right, let's discuss some of the big issues this day. This is something very new. This is something new I never really had. This is the thing I saw today, this morning, very interesting, is this says in Shulchan Aruch, when you build a sukkah, you build a sukkah, you are supposed to make a shechiyanu. You take out from the garage or wherever you have your sukkah, and you start putting up the sukkah, you're supposed to make a baruch atah Hashem v'chem l'chlam, shechiyanu v'kimanu v'giyanu l'azman hazeh, on the building of the sukkah. So did you see anyone do this? No, unheard of. It says Shulchan Aruch. Mam, it's a Shulchan Aruch. So why don't we do this?
When you start over here,
I don't know. I don't know. L'choy, when you start. Why not when you start? I don't know the answer. It's like you make a shachar on a new fruit. When you're making a shachar on a new, the first time, when you see it, really when you see it, you're supposed to make it. Not when you eat it. And the Shulchan Aruch, when you say, we don't do this either, we first. Whatever it is, I don't know the answer.
Setting up the sechach, complete the sukkah, that's when you should make it.
Okay, so maybe that's correct. Maybe when you put up the sechach, you should make it. But really, but no one does this.
Don't you have in mind when you make the
sechach? Oh, so that's an answer that it's not, that doesn't answer that it's an unsatisfying answer. So why don't we make a shachiyanu? So it says in the pasuk, we rely upon the shachiyanu that we will make the night of sukkahs. Sukkahs, when you make kiddush, you make a shachiyanu. The shachiyanu is not only on the yomtiv. The shachiyanu is on the building of the sukkah. That's what it says in the pesach. The shachiyanu that we make. So why don't we say the shachiyanu goes to the dalit minim also? Doesn't. The shachiyanu that you make by kiddush is not going to go for the dalit minim. That you're going to make another shachiyanu tomorrow when you shake the dalit minim. It's not such a satisfying answer because
on Pesach you have the same concept, but by Kiddush would be a comet. There's no shachiyanu
and beer comet. So the other answer is because you don't make a shachiyanu when you destroy something. Right. It is the shachiyanu is one of the biggest topics in halacha because it's so complex, so diverse, and there are so many contradictions. It's a very tough topic, shachiyanu. Many different types of shachiyanus. It's a big, big topic.
So it's not on the leishay, it's on the minyan?
It's a catch-all. Really, we should make
a tish. Everybody builds.
So again, that's what I saw this morning. I never saw this answer. Why don't we make, what's the big deal? If it says in Shulchan Aruch, you should make a shachiyanu, you build the sukkah, so make a shachiyanu. So the answer, I saw today, I have it in my bag, it's a sefer, it's an interesting sefer, it's a collection of all these different things. He cites the source that if everyone would build their own sukkah, it's a whole new din shachiyanu, then yeah, we would make a shachiyanu when we build a sukkah. The reality is today is that very few people build their own sukkah. It's much more common for one person to build a sukkah for a whole family, or for many families. So there's no such thing as making a shachiyanu for other people. Most people don't participate, that's the reality, in the building of a sukkah. Their grandchildren come over and build it for them. Or they hire someone, or the parents build it and the kids just get in the way, the little children get in the way. It's the way the reality is you know, in Shulchan Aruch, a lot of things, and it's also a very interesting concept, that Shulchan, a lot of things in Shulchan Aruch are written in ideal terms. Shulchan Aruch didn't focus on the B'dievets. In an ideal world, which doesn't exist in any shape or form, it's a different world. And the different world has different halachas. We're living on multiple layers of B'dievet in almost everything that we do. If everyone would go and would build their own sukkah, then yeah, when you build a sukkah, you make a shachiyanu. But the fact is, when you build your sukkah, you're not building it for yourself. You're building it for your family. You're building it for everyone. You're building it for a group of people. There's no such thing in making a shachiyanu where the shachiyanu is for other people. You make a shachiyanu has an element, this idea totally changes the dynamics of what shachiyanu is about. Look at it. Make it a shach. When you make shachiyanus, you make a shach when you light Hanukkah candles. Basically, every time you're making a shachiyanu, you're making it for yourself. It's almost a selfish bracha. You're making it because I am a participant in what is taking place. Building the sukkah there's a din in building a sukkah. It's an interesting concept. There's a din of leishay basukkah, of the mitzvah. So that we make another bracha shachiyanu for. That's every person, they have to hear Kiddush. And when they hear Kiddush, b'rovam hagas melech. When the person who sits at the table and he makes Kiddush, he makes a shachiyanu, the shachiyanu is going on the yontif, it's going on the leishay basukkah as well. But the building of the sukkah, no one's here. You're building the sukkah, everyone else is doing their thing, They're at work, they're in Beis Medrash, they're wherever they are, they're in the kitchen, whatever they're doing. And you're alone, out in the backyard, out on the side of your house, and you're building your sukkah. And who's the sukkah for? Whoever wants to use the sukkah. My family, my children, my grandchildren, my parents, I'm building the sukkah for them. But now when I build the sukkah, I'm a zoicha to build the sukkah. It's a tremendous thing.
So you should make a toiva meter.
What?
You should make a toiva meter.
A toiva is a different brach. That's when you acquire something. Sukkah is supposed to be, believe it or not, the cheapest mitzvah in the world. Go tell that to them. Go tell that to them in the store. They charge you an arm and a leg. It says it's a mitzvah kala. Psoiles. What is the schach? The psoiles goyrin v'yekef. It says that a sukkah doesn't cost anything. Go try to tell that to them, right? It doesn't cost anything. It's free. Free.
Yes, it doesn't cost anything.
It doesn't cost anything. Doesn't cost anything. It's supposed to be, so it's not, it's considered to be an acquisition where you make a shechiyanu a toiva hameter. It's a different type of bracha. It's the shechiyanu that you zoichet. It's not a shechiyanu where you've acquired. There's different types of shechiyanus. There's a shechiyanu where you acquire something. You buy a new washing machine. You make a shechiyanu. Buy a new dryer. No, it's not a joke. You buy a new refrigerator. You make a shechiyanu. No joke. You make a new shechiyanu. Buy a new refrigerator. You should. Tov meitiv. You buy a new refrigerator. You make a shechiyanu. 100%. You know how much pleasure?
What it cost.
I used one.
Adrab, the more it costs, the more you have. If it costs, you get a jalopy on eBay, some used refrigerator, then in Chanai, but you get a new refrigerator and it causes you pain in the wallet. Oh, Adrab, that's really
you
say
a used one, you don't make a shekel.
Yeah, so become
no,
so.
You're saying that was cheaper.
Now I'm saying is the more that you're in pain over what it costs is more of a reason to make a shechiyanu.
I'll make a shechiyanu with eggs.
Five. What does it cost? What does it cost? $5 a dozen now.
More.
What does it cost?
$6
a dozen eggs.
Next year I'll make a shechiyanu.
$6 up to $6. It was only $4.97 last time I saw.
$5.
$4.97 went. I was somewhere, and the wife said, "My husband."
I cut out the chicken. Right, go straight to the chicken.
She said in front of the whole table, "My husband, he has no clue what it costs to make a meal. He doesn't." She said in front of the whole. He doesn't even know what a dozen eggs cost. Ask him, how much does a dozen eggs cost? Clueless. It's up to $6? Woo! Unbelievable.
If it's cheaper, check today.
This world is coming to an end. All right. Any Rabbi Yisai. A Shechiyanu, a Yunai Yisoid, a new Yisoid in Shechiyanu. A Shechiyanu is only made on something personal. If you're building the sukkah, and they're not there, if other people, this does not qualify for a shechiyanu. There's a new chiddush, a new yisoid in the din shechiyanu to add into the encyclopedia of the laws of shechiyanu. I'm building the sukkah, no one's here, I'm not only building it for me, I'm building it for other people, and they're not even here to hear me answer on it.
But that's Pesach called Dichtet Yesediyeh.
What? So, but it doesn't qualify for shechiyanu.
It's not
a, we're talking about the din, the lamdis, a lamdish din of shechiyanu. A shechiyanu is where you're making a bracha that you are nene from, and basically, it's only you. You're not doing it for other people as well. Building a sukkah, you're not building it only for yourself. You're building it for other people, and they're not present. Therefore, it's not proper to make a shechiyanu. Oh, but when are you going to make the shechiyanu? You'll be soimech. When you make the shechiyanu, the first night of Sukkot, you have in mind, it's for the yomtiv. It is for the mitzvah hayom of leishev basukkah, and it's for the building of the sukkah. There's a din, it's an interesting concept that there is a din of building a sukkah. There's a din of tying together your dalid minim, making the eged. There is some Hasidim, no people, this is a little bit more, much more controversial. When they would bind, when they would make, they would put it together. They would put all of the minim together in the, what's that thing, that fancy word called?
The
Keshel. No, there's a better word.
The Keshel.
It's a more syllables. There are more syllables.
What?
That holder. The Keishel? So when you put into the Keishel, there's a Yehi Ratzon. In fact, it seems that some people might have even made a bracha on the Eged.
The mikvah before they did it.
What?
That they went to the mikvah before they did it.
They went to the mikvah before they did it? Okay, we have Eidos Ne'emana here. They went to the mikvah before they bind it, before you put that. When is that done? That's on Erev Yom Tov. You can't do that on Yom Tov. You do it on Erev Yom Tov, and they went to the mikvah, and they said the Yehi Ratzon, and maybe they even said they made a bracha. The Sukkot is unique in that the Hachonos are pushed up one notch relative to other mitzvahs. When you prepare the Neiros for Shabbos, I know there are minhagim where the husbands get in the way and they ruin the candles by first lighting it and then blow it out. Okay? Hachonos! Does anyone say you make a bracha? Chas v'shalom, Moti Shem v'shalom levatola. When you make the hachonos of the Shabbos candles.
If you don't do it, then you get a bracha.
And you get a bracha. And then there are people that you go, you Pesach, you go buy the matzahs, you bake the matzahs.
They call it a kesherol. They call it. Another thing, what's this concept of combining? Well, usually we say Amy Arvin, simple is simpler. And I was here with Swashik there, the Shachiyono. We have in mind and this and that.
Oh, yes, a good kashrut. Mordechai Mintz, Shalom Aleichem, a good kvittel to you, a good kibben shiar. He's asking the question of ein oisin mitzvahs agudois.
Right.
You're not allowed to do mitzvahs in bundles. So how could it then be that with taking a shechianu and we're using it for multiple purposes?
The lulav is the
rabbana. What do you mean the lulav? Wait. The lulav gets its own shechianu. The lulav gets its own shechianu bo bayom in the morning, right before you do it. The lulav has its own zman. There's no lulav at night, so the lulav gets its own shechianu. But at night, you make one shechianu, and that one shechianu is koilel three things: kedushas hayoyim, the mitzvah derais of leishev basukah, and the shechianu that you should have made when you built the sukkah. So Mordechai Mintz says this is a violation of ein oisin mitzvahs chavilos chavilos. So it must be that the shechianu has its own rules. Okay, another example, another chapter in the book of Shechianu, there is nothing like Shechianu. The amount of dilemmas and contradictions and unique elements that are found in the bracha of Shechianu, it's really a world to itself. You're saying very good.
The concept of Chavilus is not doing the mitzvah.
Mitzvah. Not on the bracha. Simcha, on the bracha of Shechianu, but it's the same concept. I don't know, it's the same kind, everything you really break down. I don't know, obviously it's Efsher.
We do it by Megillah, we say the Shechianu.
Have in mind all the mitzvahs Hayom, when they make the Shechianu in the morning. Right, so obviously the Shechianu is a world to itself. We do the morning by Megillah, Shehav Kavanah for the Bracha, Shechianu for the Megillah, Shechianu for the Seuda, for the Mishloach Manos, and some say it's not a nice thing to say, even for the mitzvahs of Matanos Le'evyonim, that's a bit more controversial. But you conclude the Shechianu for everything together. So you see a precedent where it's for multiple things together. Obviously, Shechianu has a different set of rules. Okay, so this is something very interesting that when it comes to Sukkos, no one goes, there's a very big Indian, you make matzahs, the Shei matzahs, mitzvahs, a big thing, you take a trip to the matzah bake factory, but it doesn't have this level of making, you prepare the matzahs. The mitzvah is achilas matzah. No hachonu l'mitzvah. No one makes a shechianu when they bake matzahs. You never heard this before. You ever hear someone make a shechianu when they make the matzahs? Oh, I was zoicha shechianu v'kimonu to bake the matzahs. Unheard of, ridiculous. You make a shechianu when you eat the matzahs. V'zehu, you make the shechianu the night of Pesach. So why should there be a bracha to make a shechianu when you build the sukkah? You build the sukkah. Obviously, we don't do it, of course, as you mentioned, we don't do it, because we don't make it only for ourselves, we make the shechin later, but there is really, technically speaking, make it right in, that's when the shechin should be made. You see, when it comes to binding the dalet minim together, the binding, the aguda, the binding, is a very holy thing by some people. By us, by Mashkenazi, you don't really hear, no one really pays any attention to this. But in these Hasidic Sfarim, it was a very big deal. Dr. Dove, Eidos, they went to mikvah before Erev Yom, before they would put the Dalet Minim together, they went to mikvah. There's a Yehi Ratzon to say. And I vaguely remember, is there such a thing in the, I think they're going too far. But there is an inyan when it comes to sukkahs and upgrade. Now, we're not going to talk about over here about the Dalet Minim this year. This year it is Shemitah. Now, there used to be, back in the day, 7 years ago, what did you do in the year of Shemitah? You go out into the street and you'd buy esrogim, and they were probably 99% esrogim from Eretz Yisrael. How, now, what are the problems of having an esrog in the year following Shemitah from Eretz Yisrael? The esrogim have kedushas shviyas. It says in the Torah, l'ochla v'loy l'schoyra. You're only allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to engage in business. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to take, I think it's a Mishnah, in Shviyas, you're prohibited to take the fruit of Eretz Yisrael outside Eretz HaKodesh. There's a Rambam, there's a Tosefta, there's a lot of things which I unfortunately didn't prepare well, but let me just give you the gist of what's going on. It used to be, without any hesitation, for the last, who knows, in America for sure, the last 100, 200 years, people in America, people imported from Eretz Yisrael, esrogim from Eretz Yisrael, and they imported them, they purchased them, and v'zehu. Why is it mutter? There are exceptions. You're taking out the esrog not to eat, you're taking the esrog in order to do a mitzvah. You're not, there's no business, there's no business, you wish, right? You're not really paying one penny for the esrog, you're paying for the lulav.
Of course.
Who would pay for a lulav? $400. You're paying for the straw, you're paying for the foam, you're paying for a cardboard box, an enormous amount of money. You're not paying one penny for the esrog. There's something called oitzer bezdin, where it's a tosefta. The Safta says that in the year when people need to eat and there's nothing what to eat, so Bezdin, the prohibition of doing business with Schor only applies to the individual. It's like a prosvel. But Bezdin, Tzibor, there is no prohibition. So the Bezdin can appoint agents, and the agents can go and work for the Bezdin, and they can like a kibbutz, right? Socialism. And they will collect all the fruit, and Bezdin is allowed to sell it at cost. Today in Eretz Yisrael, there are multiple, everyone that sells a srogim is part of an otzer bezdin. They're not...
How can they charge different prices?
So it's bezdin is allowed to charge. Bezdin is allowed to charge. They are allowed, there's overhead. They're overhead, and they are allowed to charge to a degree.
It should be a flat price.
No, it doesn't have to, it seems not. It seems it can be madregos. But you're definitely right. After everything is said and done,
it used to be once.
After everything is said and done, okay, I don't know all the details. Maybe tomorrow, we only have one day left. Maybe tomorrow we'll spend the first part. We'll see, learning more about the details. But Otzer Bezdin is a very, very big topic. The prohibition is only for the Yechidim. There's a Tosefta which says that in the case where there's famine and people do not know or have what to eat, Bezdin is allowed to basically go into business and... not the business necessarily, but allowed to collect the fruits and the grain and basically distribute it so people have what to eat in a proper way and charge for the overhead, for the labor, for the basic costs. And if something is more quality, there can be different madrigos depending on, I don't know all the protein, and it can be done. Okay, and now in Eretz Yisrael today, they have no choice. That's really what they do. Eretz Yisrael today, they have one very important advantage. They're not in violation of taking fruit that has Kedusha Shviyas outside of the land. So, what's the only problem? The only problem is that you're not allowed to engage in business. You're not allowed to engage in business with fruits of Shviyas. So, that you can get around, not looking to get around, but that can be solved through an Oitzer Bezdin, where it's sold at a discount at a very, very low cost. And that, to a degree, is really what's probably done 90% in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz Li'aretz, all of the years, it's always been a problem because there was not any fruit from Chutz. There's very few Esroigim available to supply a population in the tri-state area from Chutz Liaretz. Okay, the Yanav Esrogim, there are not enough Yanav Esrogim for everyone in Claudia and everyone living in New York, New Jersey, and there the other areas surrounding us. This is just not enough. This is just not enough. So what did they do? They did import Esrogim from Eretz Yisrael. Oh, but you're not allowed to take the food from Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe's Chuvas on this. All the Gedolim have discussed this. And basically, E Efshar B'inyan Acher. So we relied upon the leniencies. This year,
that everybody has to have their own esrog.
You're 100% right. You're right.
One for a family. Now we have to have five families.
You're right. You're 100% right. I don't know what the answer is. I really don't know. Right? I'm not really into this. We got to spend a lot of time to learn the details. All I can tell you is like this. This year is a game changer. I'm telling you, this is an amazing thing. This year is a game changer. They have prepared in advance for this year in Morocco. Where's Morocco? Where's Morocco? You know where Morocco is? You go on the Garden State Parkway. When you get to Tom's River, you go another three exits and you make a left. Where's Tom's River? It's somewhere near Canarsie. Jewish ignorance. Okay, so in Morocco, Morocco is a place where esrogim grow. I don't know. And they've imported this year, they prepared in advance, they've imported an enormous, enormous stock of esrogim this year from Morocco. And a lot of people today, it's very plentiful and it's very much available that to buy this year Moroccan esrogim. The Moroccan esrogim, I'll tell you all the fact, they all have pitums. They all have very stark pitums. You don't have to worry about a pitum falling off a Moroccan esrogim.
It's not there.
What do you mean it's not there? It's not going to fall off. No. 99% of them have pitums, and the pitums are glued on so tight. They're really stark. They grow with very strong pitums. They're beautiful. They're generally small. You're not going to find the big Moroccan esrog. All the Moroccan esrogs are small. They have a unique hue. They're yellow. It's like a glow-in-the-dark yellow. It's not what you're used to. It's a different type of yellow. And they all are clones of each other. They all look the same. They're mamish the same. It's very hard to... It's like, you know the Israeli esrogim, they have character. It reflects the people. Some of those esrogim are very stubborn. They're very aggressive. The Israeli esrogim have character. The Moroccan esrogim, they're beautiful. They really are, and they're all mamish clones. It's funny. It's like they all look the same. They're all pretty clean. Nothing's perfect. They're all pretty clean. They all have pitums. And there's very little difference between them. And they're available. They're all over the place. They really are. They're all over the place. Now the trick. Then you can get the classic, the Yanava, the Italian esrogim. There are many people, especially by Hasidim, they worship these esrogim. They worship these Yanava esrogim. In Italy, they have a Mesoira. The big problem.
It has a better pedigree to it.
The big problem is the pedigree. Okay, the yichus, the question is, have they been grafted? So you'll ask, what about a Morocco? Are the Moroccan esrogim, how do you know they're really esrogim? Maybe these esrogim, it's only once in 7 years. Maybe they've been grafted. This goes back already 20, 30 years. There was suspicion, maybe they're really grafted. So they did a study, a scientific study with a lot of research, and we have to understand, why would you want to graft an esrog? Why would a guy want to do it? To go graft an esrog with a lemon?
Graft.
What did I say?
Graft.
Yeah. Graft.
That's the reason.
Graft. Right. Money. Why
for money?
Graft.
I'm missing something. Why would you want to do it? Why would you want to do it? So the reason why you want to do it is because Esrog have a tendency, their roots, the roots of an Esrog have a tendency not to entrench themselves in the ground well. This is a very big problem with Esrogim. The roots of Esrogim don't always take to the earth. And lemons do. It's not to make them look. Esrogim just, they have a problem. The roots just don't go in well. When you, Esrogim do, and Esrogim are very similar to, Esrogim obviously are very similar to lemons. And by grafting, it greatly enhances the ability of an Esrog tree to stay well rooted in the ground. In Morocco, they've done studies that is not a problem. Esrogim on their own have extremely thick, powerful roots. There is no reason in the world why someone, a farmer, would have a need to waste his time, which is a very labor-intensive process, to graft Esrogim in Morocco. In Eretz Yisrael, they would. There is a suspicion. In other countries, there are suspicions, but not in Morocco. The way the environment, the agriculture of Morocco is different, and Esrogim do not need to be grafted for any reason. They grow naturally. They grow very well. There's no problem. Therefore, that alone is enough of a reason that you don't need to worry about the yichus. There's nothing to worry about. An Esrog from Morocco is authentic. It has good yichus. So why then do the Hasidim only focus on the Yanava, the Italian? No, this is the Mesorah. They're very into Italian. They're very, very into Italian Esrogim, the Hasidim. Chabad? No, there's not a... Yeah, Chabad, only Yanava?
They're designer...
The Mashiach.
That's right.
Something
to do with Mashiach.
Something with
Mashiach? Something like that. Yovan? Now, let me tell you, this year, I'm telling you a fact, because I spoke to some of the big people, Wechter. The Wechter family on East 17th Street between J and K. This is what they do, the Parnassa. They spend the whole year on this. So I was actually by him. And he showed me this year, I don't know if this is true, but always, every year is a different season. This year in Italy, the Esrogim are on strike, and only 5% of the Yanava Esrogim have pitums. Many people like to have a pitum. If it doesn't have a pitum, if it grows without a pitum, it's 100% kosher, no doubt about it. But some people, they like a pitum. It just looks more like an Esrog. They like to have daigus. Oh, it's going to fall off.
Right.
This year, for some reason, only 5% of the Italian Esrogim have grown with pitums. A pitum from Italy this year is extremely rare. I was holding in my hand one with a beautiful Esrog. It was a nice one also. It won $500. $500. I was holding in my hand. Wechter, who's a big, big dealer. He told me only has eight.
Really?
He only has eight Esrogim with pitums from Yanav. Eight. And I was holding. I looked at them, and they were not at all impressive. They were very.
But
there was one that was nice. Of course, they're kosher.
They didn't fall off.
No, they're 100. You can tell in a second. They tell it 100% kosher. And they basically had eight, and they were not at all impressive looking at all. There was one that was nice, and the next, this was Erev. When did I see them? I saw them literally the night Erev Rosh Hashanah. Erev Rosh Hashanah, I saw the eight boxes. I looked at them all. I don't, not for me, I'm kidding, not going to buy this, not in a million. But I looked at them all, one was, and then the next morning, they were gone. I did take a picture, I think I do have a picture. They were gone.
We can auction it off.
Do I have a picture? No, they were gone. And then when I went to this trade, I went, then what about the ones that don't have pitums? They tax something very nice. They were going $400 Esrogim, going like hotcakes. People spend money, we believe people spend money. People love them. I don't know why, they the ones without the pitums. So these are the Yanava, and then they are the Merakim. The Moroccan, now, this, I didn't know this. Now, what about the Yemenite Esrogim? Everything from Yemen is very authentic. You know, Yemen, you know, their diktok, the Yemenite. So I didn't know this. There are no Esrogim that grow in Yemen today.
Right.
Doesn't exist. There's no such thing as going to Yemen to go harvest Esrogim. No way. There's no Jews left there anyway. How many Jews? 10 Jews left? 20, 30, 40, 50? They're protected. They live in primitive conditions, they're protected by, I think the government protects them. Okay, there are almost no Jews left in Yemen today, and there are no Esrogim that grow in Yemen. The Esrogim, they sell, the Yemenite Esrogim, which some people, there are a lot of Yemenites in this neighborhood. There are a lot of Yemenites, they won their Mesoira, they all grow in Eretz Yisrael. They take them, they took the Esrogim, and they brought them years ago, didn't go here probably 20 years ago. They took them.
70, 80 years.
More right, they take the Yen, the Yanava, the Taimani Esrogim, and they grow them in Eretz Yisrael. And they grow beautifully. And that any time you're gonna see in selling the Yemenite, the Taimani, this is a product of Eretz Yisrael. So you shouldn't think that you're gonna buy this here a Taimani Esrog, you don't have a problem. You do have a problem because the only place where a Taimani Esrog grows is in Eretz Yisrael. And all the Taimani Esrogim have Kedusha Shvius. So if you're not going to be lenient, if you want to be machmir and not take a fruit that goes in Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Li'aretz, you cannot buy, there's no such thing as buying a Taimani Esrog because they grow in Eretz Yisrael. However, why not? Why not? Of course they're allowed to buy. Why not? Of course they're allowed to. Why is the problem? That's not no problem. Now, however, this is what they've done, and they don't grow so well. They've done a lot of this in the land because in preparation for this year. And they basically, what they've taken is, they've taken Eretz Yisrael Esrogim, which they call pretty much the Chazoin Ish Esrogim. Yeah, I want a Chazoin Ish. What does that mean? What is a Chazoin Ish Esrog? It means, in Esrog, that the Chazoin Ish, what it means is, the Chazoin Ish used this Esrog, once upon a time, 100 years ago, he used this Esrog, which grew, if the Chazoin Ish used this Esrog, you can be certain that it's a Meyuchas. It was not grafted with a lemon. And therefore they took his esrog and they planted it in the ground. And now, by the year Tav Shin Pei Gimel, there are literally hundreds of thousands of these esrogim that have...
They took the seeds, that's what I mean.
They took the seeds and where he got it from. So basically, in Eretz Yisrael, there are probably hundreds of thousands of esrogim, which are called Chazoin Ish esrogim. And what it means is, this esrog that you have now is an anicle of the esrog which either the Chazoin Ish himself shook, or the pardes from where they took the Chazoin Ish's esrog. When the Chazoin Ish took an esrog, he bought it from a certain pardes, a certain area. And if this is where he took his esrog from, so that means all the esrog with the Irakot. And they replanted a billion times over, and now you have 100,000 esrogim. So they took the Chazoin Ish esrogim, and they took the Yemenite esrogim, and they brought them this last year to Morocco, and they planted them, and they grew. So they're selling all over the place Yemenite esrogim and Chazoin Ish esrogim from Morocco. Now, they don't grow well there. They don't grow so well. When you take the Chazoin Ish Esrog to Morocco and you take the Taimani Esrog to Morocco,
he doesn't want to live there.
They don't grow. They grow, but they don't grow all that well. You know, because everything depends on it. It's a very complicated business. And also, there's a lot, this you got to be really, really careful, and there is no way to really know anything for sure. There's a lot of fraud in this business. Just because they tell you, I'm not talking about the fraud, I'm talking about even where it grows from. Just because they tell you this is a Chazoin Ish Esrog that grew in Morocco. Just because they tell you that this is a Chazoin Ish Esrog that grew in Morocco, who says? How do you know for sure they're not fooling you? How do you know for sure that this really grew in Morocco, did not grow in Eretz Yisrael? Listen, if it grew in Eretz Yisrael, it's also fine. We're Mekel, Oilam can be Oilam, many people are Mekel. You don't have to be so machmir. For the last 100 years in America, everyone only had shvius. They only had Eretz Yisrael. We could be mekel. You're supposed to lechatchila send it back. Meir will take it back for you. If you want to buy an Eretz Yisrael dig eshrik, Meir will take it back for you. You have to return it to the land that it came from. It's kedusha.
You'll get stopped by border patrol.
It could be. So this we have to be aware of. You'll be able to find these beautiful, beautiful Moroccan esrogim. They're going to be small. They have beautiful pitums. They grow with the pitum very nice. They're all beautiful. They have a very nice giddle. They're all mamish clones of one another, and they're pretty small.
They're the same
and they glow in the dark.
Are they all the same price?
Pretty much. They glow in the dark. They glow in the dark. And then if you want, you can get a chazonish that grew in Morocco, or a temoni that grew in Morocco, or you can get the fourth option, a yanava, Italy. You get an esrog that grew.
Anyone wants last year's
in, esrog? Grew in that. Italy. Oh. All right, there's a lot more about this, but we have to stop
there
now.
Also the yard side of,
we're going to say Kaddish now.